Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And we have returned with Happy Hour for another week. We've got the ladies here. We've got Jonna. We've got Carol. We've also got myself. And we are back with what I'm sure will prove to be another fantastic show.
Are you psychic? Trying to marry? Do you have a psychic ability?
I don't want to be psychic.
Or is that just confidence? And
I'm already kind of psychic enough when you guys give me a hard time for it.
What?
When you guys give me a hard time for my psychic ability.
No, because predicting bad things is not,
that's not
does
psychic.
Not qualify as psychic.
Who wouldn't want to be psychic? You want to be psychic. You don't want to be schlep rock. There's a difference. I didn't know that was the delineation.
That was it. You are either psychic or you are schlep rock. I didn't know it was one. There's no middle ground, right?
Is that a term? You're just wonderfully creative mind. Just pull that out of thin air. Schlep rock.
Did you not grow up watching the Flintstones as a child?
I did. But well, I don't
you,
remember.
You did?
Rock.
You weren't in the bubble then?
Flintstones is allowed in the bubble.
Oh, okay, just checking.
For those of you wondering exactly what the bubble is, Jonna has accused me, affectionately so, of living in a place called Carol's Big Bubble World.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't like to think negative talk, negative watch news, all that. So I'm usually out of loop on stuff. But Flintstones?
Yeah.
Allowed in the bubble. So is the Jetsons.
Exactly.
Okay, no, good on the Jetsons. I was a big fan of the Jetsons, though I'm still disappointed because I'm not sitting in a flying car right now.
It's coming.
Thank you, future.
Yeah, it's coming.
Give it 5 or 6 years.
So, I'm not going to be psychic. I'm not going to predict that something would go wrong with my car the second I got my extra paycheck, okay? All right.
I need a favor from you, Frankenberry.
Yes, and what favor is that there, young lady?
And I'd like your opinion on this, Curly Pesky. Okay.
Yes, Jonas Spilbore.
Here's the deal. I am having a bit of a mousage problem at my house.
Oh, was this the Facebook post I saw about the seeds being everywhere? Somebody has broken into your little container?
No, they weren't everywhere. That was a couple weeks ago.
Sorry.
Now the seeds, the bird seeds, that are in my house in a plastic container that is locked, have found their way into a very personal drawer in my bathroom where I keep my toiletries and makeup and stuff that goes on my face.
Okay.
Right? So that means I have a mouse that is somehow going outside, grabbing bird seeds, coming inside, eating them in my private drawer and leaving the mess for me to contend with.
No, now you see, now look, I got to give a mouse like that credit because that mouse is saying, you know what? I know there's a comfy spot where I can kick my feet back. I can throw on the smoking jacket. I can ask my wife mouse to go get me a pair of slippers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to eat this bird seed nice and comfy in Jonna's girl stuff drawer.
Right. Well, hang on a minute. Mm-hmm. In defense of the little mouse,
only you.
But go ahead. In defense of the little mouse, if I were a little mouse and I stumbled upon an abundance of food, I would gather it up and then I would find myself a nice, quiet, comfy place to sleep. And if that happened to be a little drawer, I mean, that would be perfect. Plus, if there was a cotton ball for me to use as my pillow, I'm good. I'm a happy little
mouse.
Now,
smart mouse, like I said.
I understand that concept, although I will say, in order for this mouse to gather seed from outside and find its way into this drawer, which requires some deftness, perhaps a few acrobatic skills, it is a lot of work. Now, the issue I have, other than the fact that there is vermin living next to my $200 eye cream, is that you guys know I have an issue where I do not kill things even when they potentially could kill me. Animals, that is. So, Frankenberry, what I would like, since I will not get an exterminator or a mousetrap.
Yes.
I would like to either rescue a cat for a week, and then when I am done with my mouse problem, give it to you if you're amenable to that.
What?
Or you have to loan me a cat for a week, and I'll just give it back to you.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Jonna, first of all, it's not like a used car. Okay?
What do you
it's
mean?
Like you don't just rent a cat. Okay, or loan
a
cat.
I need to rent a cat.
What's that?
I need to rent a cat. That's the most humane thing I could do right now.
Well, no,
and
I know you
have cats for
rent. I'm sure there are those animal-safe traps that you can find for a mouse. They have them for raccoons. They have them for squirrels. They have them for all sorts of animals that can get into a house. They've got those animal-safe traps, you know, that will open on one end, close on the other. You've got them captured. In this case, you would just take the mouse down by the river and let him out and do his mouse stuff.
Now.
So I'm sure you could find a little cage like that. Now, when it comes to borrowing a cat, I don't think you can really borrow a cat, Jonna, unless you want to foster a cat for a week through a shelter. You could probably do something like that, but you'd want to be home the whole time.
Number one, I don't like naysayers. Number two, let me tell you about my experience with the Have a Heart mouse traps, which I have used in the past. I caught a mouse in a little Have a Heart mouse trap, which is a little tiny, it's very, very small, and it traps the mouse alive. Then what I had to do was I had to take my little mouse purse, I had to put it in my car, I had to drive the live mouse in his little cage to a faraway land, pick it up, open the door, let it out, and watch it traipse through the snow miles away from where I had caught it. Number one, it was a little movie-ish, and I was kind of sad. Number two, I didn't really like coming that close to the mouse. Therefore, back to my original point, I need to rent a cat.
All right, you know what I'm thinking, Carol?
Yes.
I'm thinking the dark web for mercenary cats. I'm thinking that's where she goes now. You know, she'll find pictures of cats.
Cat trafficking?
Cats for hire?
Yeah, she'll find pictures of cats that have, like, you know,
so get like a cat contract hit?
Yes, exactly. Something to that effect. Yeah, I'm sure she could find something like that.
So you're an animal lover, and you don't want to get any kind of trap that's going to hurt the mouse, correct?
Correct.
But yet you'll bring in a cat that will eat it?
Well, I think the cat might just scare it away. Like if it knows that there's a cat skulking around, you think it's going to want to come in my drawer?
Some places use cardboard cutouts.
No.
Of cats?
Some places use cardboard cutouts of police. What about a cardboard cutout of a cat?
I got it.
I was kidding, by the way, but go ahead.
I figured as much.
If it inspired something, go ahead.
What if I create a recording of just like a meow, and every time I'm not home, I just play it over and over again?
Jonna, why don't you just get another Have a Heart trap and call somebody when the mouse gets trapped?
Oh, Frank.
And have somebody come over to your house and say, listen, can you take this mouse and take him out down by the river
to let him out? Because you know what? There are so many people out there who want to come over to my house and pick up my dirty mouse trap with my living mouse in it,
Carol,
and take it away.
What did she just say to me? She just said, Frankenberry, can you either loan me a cat or can I borrow somebody's cat and then give it to you? To make it your responsibility, but yet she can't seem to find anybody that will just drive over to her house, take a safe trap into the backyard, and let a mouse out.
She's a puzzle.
This is a problem. This is a problem.
Where do you keep your bird seed, by the way?
All right, here's the thing. I know I am partially to blame for this. Because, well, now I keep the bird seed in the house locked up where no animal can get into it.
Wait. In the house?
But hang on. Where this mouse is getting the birdseed is I feed the birds and the raccoons out back.
Right, and the raccoons are friends with the mouse. They invited the mouse over to join him for dinner one night, and the mouse, you know, we went inside.
But why can't he come inside and go down in the little crawl space under my house where I never am and eat his birdseed there? Why can't he do that?
Carol already mentioned
it. Why does he have to do it in my bathroom?
You got a comfy women's stuff drawer. I'm a smart mouse. I'm hiding in that. I'm not going downstairs in that dirty underneath the house crawl space.
You know, there are some people who have no problem putting mouse traps down. I can't do it. I can't. I won't.
You also cannot afford to have a mice infestation. The leftover crumbs of birdseed is the least of your problems. It's the other leftover stuff they're going to leave around. So you can't have that. I think you got to get the mouse-friendly traps. I'll help you.
You can call me.
I will come get the trap. Frankenberry will help you.
You'll help me.
You know I'll help you. You originally thought it was going to be okay to just
out of the house.
Unload a cat on me.
It's like bait. You can't be bringing that. So you have it in like an airtight container
it's
now?
Totally airtight. Totally. You're not getting in that. You're not getting in it. They're getting it from outside. And I have to feed the raccoons because who's going to if I don't?
Mother Nature.
In this
the
weather,
oak trees.
Maybe when it gets a little warmer. But I can't, I don't know. I just love them. I want to hug them and squeeze them. Not the mice, the raccoons.
And by the way, Carol, I don't know if you know this, but with the Jonna thing when it comes to the cats, I just want to let you know that Jonna is not allowed to be related to somebody who could be called, say, a crazy cat lady. But it's okay for her pal, one of her compatriots on the air, to be considered a crazy cat dude.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so when a cat comes and adopts her cousin, who already has six cats, and I say, well, why doesn't her cousin just keep the cat? She says, no, because then she becomes a crazy cat lady. Because apparently there is a delineation between six and seven.
There is.
Okay, she gets that seventh, boom, she's gone over the precipice, she's now crazy cat lady, and Jonna can't be related to her because she has a reputation. But instead, she can call Frankenberry or text Frankenberry and say, hey, came across a cat, do you want it? Because it's okay if I turn into crazy cat dude.
I don't think there is such a thing as crazy cat dude, so and you only have two. You've got plenty of room to grow.
But I do have a ton downstairs that I feed on
They're
a regular
yours.
Basis.
It doesn't
They're not
count.
Mine. They're not. I understand that, but they do like coming upstairs on occasion.
See?
My sister has nine. She is over the edge.
Well, right. Nine is over the edge.
I'm going to tell you, no, here is the number.
And one died, and she went back out and got another one.
Jonna knows
I'm
the
I'm going to give you the number. Four is too many. All right, and I'm going to tell you right now, I dated a guy with four, and I'm allergic. So every time I went to his apartment, I wheezed. I practically had a heart attack. I needed an inhaler. Four is too much. Two? Okay. But anything above four, five, like, what do you do with all those cats? At that point, they're like monkeys. They're just like all over the place.
And cats, look, I grew up with cats, and I love all animals. But cats, when you say monkeys, I can totally relate to that because they see something on the kitchen counter they want, boom, right up there. Like there's just no keeping them down. At least my dog, I can put something on the counter, and there's no risk of...
Cats get everywhere.
Yeah, they do.
Worry.
They are like monkeys.
I had two cats for a while, even though I'm highly allergic, that I stole from a neighbor because I didn't like the way the neighbor was treating the cats. And I love those cats. In fact, one of them is actually still alive. The cats live a long time. But I always worry, like, if you are cooking something on the stove, the cat doesn't know that, and they could jump right up there and hurt themselves.
Well, they learn not to, if that is indeed the case.
They burn their tail off?
Well, they'll understand.
Well, back to my original point. I will pay you $10 to rent your cat. It doesn't even have to be a whole week. Just let me rent it for like a day or
okay.
two.
Okay. All right. So I will let you rent Grayson.
Thank you.
He might even sleep under the covers on your arm and make you sneeze all night.
Aw. All right.
So.
That's the conclusion we came to. You are going to bring in a contract
killer cat
for hire
to chase around, scare the crap out of the little mice,
yes,
and then eventually eat them. That's your plan. Well, that's your humane plan.
Hopefully not in front of me. I hopefully the mice will be smart enough to just not come around.
And do you remember this from your era in your life when there were multiple cats that when they do capture a mouse, they're very proud of it?
Oh, yeah.
Frankenberry can attest to this. You know what it's going to do when it catches it? It's going to come present it to you.
Like a trophy.
Yep. Yeah.
Like a gift.
I had that happen. Snakes, chipmunks, mice.
Little lizards in Florida. I had those.
Yeah. I understand that. But I'm confident that this mouse is just going to be like a bouncer. It's not going to be like a killer. Like, hey, mouse. I mean, this cat's going to be a bouncer. You can't come in here. She said so. And I'm only here for 2 days. Let's get out. That's my
I don't mean to scare you, but you're tough and you can handle it. But your house is where?
By the river.
Uh-huh. Oh, yep, that's all. That's all.
Yeah.
You might need a cougar to come in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cougar.
All right, on that note.
A cougar already lives there.
That's right.
All right.
So
that's enough of this
gears.
Business. All right,
what
we're
got
going
today?
To,
I forget.
We're going to talk with Derek Rydell. He is a best-selling author. Jonna and I are both fans of his.
Kind of amazing.
He wrote a book called Emergence. I don't remember the exact subhead to it, but it's really, really inspiring and amazing about how, if you look at to the laws of nature, to the laws of how we live our lives, and in Emergence, he talks about everything that an an oak tree needs to become an oak tree is contained in the code of the acorn. Like right. everything, your potential's already in you. It's just setting the right environment and the right circumstances for everything you are supposed to be to emerge. Brilliant book. He just came out with his latest book, brand new, called The Abundance Project, 40 Days to More Wealth, Health, Love, and Happiness. We love this guy. Stick around. When we come back, we'll have him with us.
All right, that sounds good. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will return right here on K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And this is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. We have returned, and it's time now to get to our very special guest this morning. And Carol, I know you're very excited about this, you and Jonna.
can you tell by the look on my face? This is one of the wonderful things about us doing this radio show is we get to talk to people that we would probably otherwise stalk, right?
I would say. So
we are both avid readers and practicers of Law of Attraction and now the Law of Emergence and self-help. So we have with us on the line Derek Riedel. He is the Amazon Barnes & Noble number one best-selling author of Emergence, 7 Steps for Radical Life Change. Highly recommend that book. And he is just coming out, brand new release. His latest book is called The Abundance Project, 40 Days to More Wealth, Health, Love, and Happiness. Derek presents a time-tested system for activating the abundance principle, which sets you free from the belief that outer conditions determine your life and shows you how to generate everything you need, no matter what conditions you face. He's worked with Fortune 500 companies such as American Express, Walt Disney, kind of a big deal. His global platform has touched hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. Derek, welcome to Happy Hour.
Oh, thank you. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here.
We talked briefly in the first segment about one of the reasons people should listen to you, which was, and maybe we can start with that, which is your story. That, you know, it's one thing to look at somebody who's highly successful, and you are, and learn from them. But Derek, it wasn't always that good for you. You had a really, really difficult time in your life, as well as a near-death experience, both of which have now positioned you to do what you do now. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, well, you know, like so many people, I you know, struggling to improve themselves. I spent many, many years, at least a decade or more of self-improvement, you know, efforts. And the only thing I really improved after over a decade of that was my ability to describe why my life was so messed up still. I could articulate all the reasons why things weren't working, but I was in no better shape. In fact, all the efforts to improve myself made me feel more inadequate, more frustrated, eventually drove me to drugs and alcohol and almost died of an overdose. And that wasn't yet enough to crack me open. I then thought, well, maybe I'm just not working hard enough or smart enough or attracting strong enough or something. And so I redoubled my efforts, and for a while, things started to go a little bit better, as they often do when you just get started again. But then everything fell apart again, and I was doing a movie in Jamaica, and the film was going south. They fired the director, were firing all the actors, and I decided to go diving in a reef alone, which was my first mistake. And then I prayed to just get lost from everything above, which was my second mistake, because you've got to be careful what you pray for.
Yeah.
And I got stuck in this reef, and long story short, I was on the verge of drowning when nobody knew I was out there. The sun was setting. I was caught in a pocket of fire coral and spiked coral, couldn't get out. And at the moment where I was done, I was completely exhausted, completely done. All was left was to surrender. And not one of those, you know, God, if you get me out of this, I promise to go to church on Sunday kind of surrenders. But, you know, the real unconditional letting go, because I really knew I was going to drown. There was nothing left. And in that moment of unconditional surrender, something snapped. Something cracked open in me. And I had a flash of an awareness that the self that I'd been trying to improve all this time was a figment, a fictional character made up of peer pressure, parental fantasies, societal conditioning, and nothing I ever did was going to make him enough. But behind him, there was this other self that had never been hurt, so he didn't have to be fixed. and he was already complete.
Wow.
So he could not be improved upon. That actually self-improvement was an oxymoron when you really understand the self. Now, this all happened in a flash.
Wow.
But the next instant, I was standing outside of the pocket of coral on the one piece of coral I could stand on, looking down into the place I'd been stuck. I don't know exactly how I got there even.
Wow.
But I was free. And everything had this shimmering glow to it, and I realized something dramatic had happened, but I didn't know what. I just knew that the guy that swam into that reef was not the guy that swam out. And I subsequently pulled out of society, was going to become a monk, tried to become a monk, and when that didn't work out, I basically cloistered myself in my apartment and went on a long journey to understand what had happened to me. And that's where I discovered what I came to call the law of emergence, and, you know, led to my book, Emergence. And which, you know, the basic principle being that everything is already within us, just like the oak is already in the acorn. The acorn doesn't go out and attract an oak or achieve an oak or become worthy of an oak. When the conditions are cultivated that match the pattern within that seed, it naturally emerges. And that same principle applies to us, that there's a seed pattern within us. And when we cultivate the conditions in our life to be in integrity with it, it naturally starts to emerge and unfold in our lives. And that ultimately is the great secret of how all of life grows. All of life is emergent.
Well,
the universe emerged out of the void.
You can't argue with Mother Nature. And if you ever want to get to the root truth of anything, what's true for an acorn or a tomato seed is the same thing very much the same thing that's true for a human being. So if you look to the laws of nature for how you can live your life in a way that brings you more of the experiences and feelings that you want, to me, it's brilliant. Derek, can you talk to us in the book, what is the great reversal and how does that finally put you in a place of power to manifest?
Yeah, so that was one of the biggest shifts for me, was the realization that life doesn't happen to us, it happens through us. It comes from us. Actually, the word human comes from a Sanskrit term, MN for man, that represents the dispenser of divine gifts. So we've been conditioned to believe that we show up here as an empty shell and we have to fill ourselves up with stuff. But actually, it's exactly the opposite. As we were just talking about, you actually show up already with everything you need to become all that you were meant to be. And so the way to have more come into your life is by letting more life come out of you. That rather than going out and getting it or acquiring it or attracting it or pulling it to us, actually we are supposed to let more come out of us, as the poet Robert Browning called the imprisoned splendor. This imprisoned splendor that's within us, and we're so busy going out chasing and attracting and trying to acquire that we block and resist the natural unfoldment and emergence and effulgence of our own being. So everything we're seeking, the thing we're seeking for, we're actually seeking with. The love, the peace, the joy, the abundance, the freedom, the power, the genius. None of that is out there. None of that is in anyone else. All of it is in us. So instead of seeking it, we have to look for ways to start expressing it, to start sharing it, to start circulating it. And that's what ultimately led me to the realization, what I now call the abundance principle, which is a piece of the emergence framework. And that is, whatever's missing is what you're not giving. And if you want to have more of anything in your life, you have to find a way to circulate more of it.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, but maybe you were just answered it in advance by what you just said. So let's be practical about this. Somebody's listening right now and they are in a job they hate and they're very unhappy.
Yep.
So how would they then activate their greatest potential while they're in that space, while they're in a quote-unquote negative situation? How do they activate their greatest potential?
Yeah, well, that's something I know very, very intimately, and that's how I've tested and proven this principle, is not by having everything I want, but by having exactly the opposite. So I was in a job I hated. After I had that breakthrough, that breakdown and breakthrough, I ended up going from being this successful up-and-coming actor to having to get a job as a waiter. And so I did it in reverse. Usually you go from a waiter to an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was a successful actor. I mean, so I'm waiting on tables and people are coming in and recognizing me. including people I'd been in movies with. And it was profoundly humiliating and painful. And I had to really start, I either had to be miserable or quit and be broke, or I had to figure out how to show up in power. And what I began to do is practice what I'd been experiencing, which is beginning to bring to this job the qualities and the energy that I would be if I was already living the life that I wanted. So I got clear on what was the vision that I wanted to live that was trying to emerge in me, and who would I be if I was living that? What would my habits of thinking, feeling, and being and doing be if I was already living it? Now let me bring that to this job. This is where I'm planted. Let me fill out this pot. And like a gardener, if a plant fills out the pot it's in, what does the gardener do? The gardener will replant it in a bigger pot. If a plant sits in that little pot and looks at all the bigger pots and says, why don't I have a bigger pot? I want a bigger pot. It's not fair that I have a little pot. I'm going to wait until I get a bigger pot. It's going to stay in the little pot. But if it decides, I'm going to fill out this pot, I'm going to stretch my roots deeply, I'm going to spread my branches far and wide, it's going to then get replanted into a bigger and a bigger and a bigger pot. So I began to practice bringing all of me, bringing the excellence, the generosity, the service, the joy. And as a result of that, I activated those qualities within me. I started to feel empowered. I started to feel inspired. I started to give 5-star service in a 3-star restaurant, and I felt on fire. And then I got fired. and this happened 3 times, where they hired me back because they realized it was a mistake. I had to show up, dig deeper, bring more of me to the job, and then I would get fired again. And by the time third time came around, it was mutual. It was like, yeah, I think it's time to part ways. And within about a month, I got hired being a consultant and a performer for Fortune 500 companies. And I went from making $50 a day to $1,000 a day. I went from waiting on tables in a 3-star restaurant to being wined and dined at 5-star restaurants all over the country. And the important thing is that that growth spurt did not happen in that 1 month after I was fired. It was developing and growing throughout the entire time I was working at that job from hell, because I showed up and I brought more of me. And that's the principle. If you really show up, then whatever that environment or that relationship, if they're not willing, they're either going to rise to meet you, or you're going to be moved into an opportunity or a relationship that will. And that's why you're never a victim of circumstances. And then you actually begin to see that the job from hell, the relationship from hell, the difficult relationship, or the hard situation, it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. It's like a gymnasium for your soul. It's happening for you to develop these new muscles so that you can be a stronger, more resilient, more conscious, more expanded individual to carry the level of energy and power you need to live the life you ultimately desire.
Right.
It's all conspiring for your good.
So it's kind of like, you know, when you're told when you're younger, you know, or you've seen when you were younger, that one person that could always light up a room when they walked in, and you say to yourself, I wonder if I can do that. So my question of you now is, for somebody who wants to be that person, who wants to do what you were able to do, first off, as the, you know, the 5-star waiter in a 3-star restaurant, but they're only used to right now pulling from their environment, from pulling, you know, that's basically how they've grown up, is the concept of the environment has made me. What can you still pull from the outside that is still yours that you can push forward?
Well, everything in your environment is giving you it's feedback. So it's telling you the things that push you or pull you, the things that trigger you, either the things that push your buttons or the things that you're like, oh my God, that person's so amazing, or that situation has such luminosity. These are all clues to what's inside of us and what's trying to come out. So you can use your environment like a dashboard, giving you all these lights, telling you what's really going on inside of you. And when you learn how to read the environment, you actually are no longer at odds with it or at resistance to it. You know it's giving you feedback, and it's actually giving you exactly what you need to become the person you want to be, like I just described. And I've done this not only with the job from hell. I've done this when we wanted to get our dream home and couldn't afford it. I did this when I wanted to travel around the world and didn't even know where to begin. Over and over and over again, when you apply this principle, and the most simple way to start is just to say, get really clear on what is the life you truly want. What is the vision that's trying to unfold or emerge through you? And then ask, if I was already living that, what would I be thinking? What would my habits of thought be? What would my habits of feeling be? How would I feel predominantly? And who would I be? How would I be showing up in this job or relationship? And what would I be doing on a regular basis? And maybe you discover I would be exercising more, drinking more water. I'd be showing up in a more powerful way, more creative, more confident, whatever.
Right.
And then you take those qualities and you begin to very methodically practice them wherever you are right now. Now, of course, in my book, The Abundance Project, I walk you guys through step by step a 40-day plan to implementing all of this. So I think that's, to really break down, if you really want to master this process and you really want to embody a higher level of abundance and empowerment, I would advise people, obviously, check out the book. And should we let them know where they can go grab a copy, or do you guys have that link for them?
No, go ahead. Tell us where we can get a copy
yes,
of
please.
Your book, Derek. Both of them, actually. So the Abundance Projects and Emergence, because I think people should read both.
I agree. Emergence certainly lays a foundation. But you can go to www.theabundanceprojectbook.com. And if you buy it through the link on that site, you'll also get over $1,200 in bonus coaching. You'll become part of the mastermind group where we're going to support you in creating your own abundance project. You'll get group coaching with me where I'm going to specifically help you really iron in and get clear on what is your goal, your 40-day abundance project goal. So you're going to get a lot of support from me and my coaches and all of that just for grabbing a copy of this book, which I think is like $10 or $15, you know, on Amazon. So you go to theabundanceprojectbook.com, and if you get it through there on Amazon, I think they bundle that with Emergence as well for an even deeper savings.
Oh, that's cool.
And I have to highly recommend that. I'm going to get the Abundance Project book as soon as we are out of the studio. I've already read Emergence. I'm going to read that again. You are an amazing guest, and we really appreciate this information. Encourage our listeners to go to theabundanceprojectbook.com. Derek Riedel, you are one of our favorites. Thank you so much for coming on Happy Hour.
Thank you so much. It's really been my privilege and honor.
Well, yes, thank you as well, Derek. This is the first time I've had a chance to listen to you talk, and believe me, I'm on the same boat as Jonna already.
All
thank
right.
you,
guys.
We'll see you again.
All right, thanks, Derek. You be good.
Thanks,
take
everyone.
Care. All right, it's Jonna and Carol, and that was Happy Hour. Thanks again to Derek Riedel there for just fantastic interview.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, and I'm not just saying people should run out and buy all of his stuff. It was really life-changing for me, and we'll talk all about that when we come back.
That we are, and we're also going to find out about a new idea that Carol has. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we'll be back. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Back again, it is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
And Derek was wonderful. And, you know,
he's
and
awesome.
Practical things we can use, too.
Yeah, you know, that's what one of the things I love about him is style. He's been there. He was near death and what things that opened up for him in his life and that he learned. So he's been in really, really tough situations. He's completely turned his life around. So he takes brilliant concepts, makes it understandable. But it's not just theory. That's what I love about his latest book is he actually gives you a 40-day plan to follow and actionable items. Always helpful.
Yeah.
Love him.
He I don't know if I told you. I think I did tell you this, but it was a while ago when I was reading listening to his first book, Emergence, which is, on the one hand, which I thoroughly enjoyed the book, but Emergence is a little bit of a different concept from the concept that you and I basically live every day, which is the law of attraction, right? How you manifest and you can bring things into your life from outside. His book, Emergence, is really about everything you need to manifest anything is already inside you, and you just got to kind of tap into that. And I remember I was listening to the book, I was on the rail trail, I'm going to say it had to be maybe a year, maybe a little bit more ago. And the moment that that clicked, I remember where, you know, it's like when something important happens, do you remember exactly where you were? The moment that the concept clicked, I'm jogging on the rail trail. I'm listening to him and I look over and I see this white horse's rear end.
I remember this.
Right? And it all like came to, and I remember that moment so vividly where I said to myself, wow, this is an amazing concept. This is going to change my life as I'm looking at a horse's petard. Toot. And I'll never, ever forget that. So I'm interested in, you know, a 40-day commitment is kind of a big deal. But I'm not opposed to giving it a go. Not
well. I think his advice is brilliant. Yeah. So it is a little bit of a departure. We hear about the law of attraction, that which is like is drawn into itself. So to focus on the positive, think about the positive, and these things and experiences that you want will be attracted to you.
And it works. It does work.
It does work. He comes at it from a little bit of a different angle. Again, what I said before our interview with him is his concept is look to the laws of nature. Because the laws of nature are the laws of nature. You cannot argue with them.
Right.
When you take an acorn or any kind of seed for that matter, it doesn't need to attract anything to it.
Right.
It just needs the right conditions to emerge. The whole program, the whole code for a huge tall oak tree to grow and produce and become strong is already in the acorn. It just needs the right environment. So he comes at it from a little bit of a different angle, but I do believe while you take something like a seed or an acorn, yes, it does need the right environment. And I think we as human beings do as well, which is one of the reasons you and I are both a big believer of being careful what gets in your head, because anything that's in your environment, that includes people,
right?
Who you choose to surround yourself with, what kinds of conversations you engage in, what do you watch on TV, what do you read, all of these things around your environment will affect your growth. They will affect what you're capable of doing. So you need to choose that carefully. Plus, the added thing I think we have as human beings is our internal state, right? Like, we get to choose what goes on inside.
Right.
The acorn, it's going to get dropped wherever it's going to get dropped, and it's kind of up to whatever. Is it going to get lucky enough to get buried underground and then pop up? Enough rain, enough sun, who knows? But we get to influence our environment, and we also get to influence our internal state. And both of those have a huge impact on what we're able to grow into.
Oh, absolutely. And there are two points I want to say to anybody who's listening and either A, doesn't quite get it, which I'm not, that's perfectly normal. Because some of these concepts, it takes a while to wrap your mind around them. It really does sometimes. It took me a while to do that anyway. But if you wanted to try it, I want to say two things. One, when it comes to, like, when we talk about the law of attraction or the law of emergence, and people who are very new to it will be like, that's hooey. That's hocus pocus.
No, who would say that?
Oh, maybe somebody in this room. But I can tell you, I can point to one simple law to prove to you very easily that they're not hocus pocus.
And she, listening audience, is a lawyer.
Besides that law actually is a little bit of hocus pocus. But think about the law of gravity. Right now, so when we talk about the law of attraction, we say that is the law, and the law of emergence, that is the law, meaning it works like every time. Think about when an apple falls from a tree. Guys, it is never falling up. It is only falling down. Why? Because that is the law. It will always fall down. So when you master the law of attraction, you can get it to work pretty much every time. You master the law of emergence, that's going to work every time. And once you see evidence of that, and here's my second thing, I challenge anybody who's listening, try something really, really small. Like, try to attract, I don't know, something. Can we say like a dollar? Like, would it work with that? Like, if you say, I want to find a dollar someplace unexpected in the next 3 days, I guarantee you, you will find a dollar.
Or anything. Who was the other author that we had on the show? Like, pick a butterfly and pick a color or any kind of item.
Is that Pam Grout?
Pam Grout. There
yes.
you go. E squared and
yes.
E cubed.
Oh, yep. God, I love it. And Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, that's right.
That's another fabulous book. Yeah, she did that. And you can conduct those experiments. And what, Frankenberry?
Experiment.
Experiment.
We get a new kind of gum. Experiment flavor of gum.
Yes, minty fresh experiments.
Yeah. So going back to the law of attraction. So you attract things that are in the same vibration as you, and thoughts, and positive thoughts, and generous thoughts. And then if you take Derek Rydell's approach theory and say that you have everything within you, you just need the right environment and the right conditions.
So if you put the two of them together, you're like a superhero.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a super attractor.
And one of the things, I actually just did this for the, I think, third or fourth year in a row for Marist College for our good friend Robin Torres, who's been on our show multiple times, their leadership program. I use this example with the students, and I actually have them plant a seed in soil, and I talk about all the elements and how that relates to them in their life. So, for example, the cup that they start with, that they're going to put the soil in, that's them. They're holding their whole lives in their hands. Then you got to put the soil in there. What's the soil? That's your brain. That's because everything begins in thought. Then the seed is, what kind of seeds are you going to plant in your life? What are kinds of thoughts are you going to choose to think and talk about and focus on? What do you want to grow your life into? And then the other part that is, and I did some of this for you for a presentation one time, that's hard for people to wrap your head around, because you know what? When something crappy is going on in your life that you don't ask for, you don't deserve, it's very, very hard to wrap your head around saying, why? Why me? I'm a good person. I do good. Why are these things happening? Well, the reality is, crap's going to happen to all of us.
That's right.
Whether we ask for it does not mean we deserve it, because we all go through it. But how do we look at that? How do we then choose to respond to it? So then what I talk to these students about, and it ties directly into what we're talking about here, is when the rain comes, when the crap happens, that's the fertilizer, that's the roll of things. If you had a sunny days for all of your life, you're going to dry up. You're not going to grow. It's all of the elements combined. So when these negative things, quote unquote negative things, are happening, if we can wrap our head around it in a way to say, okay, I don't love this right now.
Right.
But I trust that it's going to serve me to grow and produce and become more of me.
So it's funny, because while you were talking, I was taking a note that I wanted to say on the air, and I wrote, as you can see here, crap can make us grow. And then you started That's talking true. About the exact same thing.
And I want to add my story here. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. Perhaps you're listening to the first time.
Or have read your book.
Yeah, or maybe I've read my book, Happy Bitch. But I went through, found my ex was having an affair, went through a divorce. Not fun.
Right.
Okay? But today, I get to do this radio show with you and Frank and Barry. I get to speak as an inspirational speaker. I've written a book. I own a wine brand. I get to inspire people for a living. Not in spite of what happened to me, but because of what happened to me. Because what lessons I learned when I went through that difficult time and the choices that I made, it was actually a gift in retrospect. And if you're going through something tough right now, if you can change the question from why me to what good can I create with this?
Right.
And trust whatever answers come to you.
Which reminds me of another, I mean, speaking of emergence, you are, and you approached me with this, and I think it's a fantastic idea and a great business model. You are going to be available to do divorce coaching.
That was actually a beautiful segue.
Wonderful segue.
Segue.
You I wasn't, are welcome.
Wow. Yeah, so I've just recently made this decision after many years now of talking about it, of writing about it. I have decided on a limited basis, because I can't do this for everyone, and I need to take on a limited number of people to serve them well. Mm-hmm. But one-on-one divorce coaching, this is not the legal aspect. That's what people come to you for. But as you know, with the hundreds of people you have worked with, it's not just the legal aspect. It's not just getting that stamp on it and then everybody moves on. No. There's a whole lot of emotional baggage, trust me, I've been there, that comes along with it. So I want to work primarily with women and do divorce coaching to help you get your head on straight, to be wise about how you respond to the things that are coming at you, because there's your power. It's not what happens to you, it's what you do with it. So you can go to my website, carolpesci.com, if that's too difficult to spell.
Would be for my mother.
oh, that's right. Yeah, she has a hard time with it. divorcewithpurpose.com, and that will take you to my website and describing more about it. And I'm really, really excited, because I know for sure I can have an impact, and I know if you, what if your divorce didn't happen to you, but it happened for you? What if there's something in there, like there was for me, that completely altered the course of my life in a better direction?
I don't even think you can say what if. I think divorces do happen for you, not to you. And I told you, I think I told both of you guys the story that, you know, I started to figure this out many, many moons ago when I opened my law practice here. And I remember I had one particular client early on, like one of my first clients here in New York, who I did handled her divorce. And when it was all done, I brought her into the office to give her her judgment of divorce, which is the final paperwork. And I handed it to her with a big smile on my face, like I was ready to go, let's go pop the champagne. And as soon as I handed it to her, she held it in her hands and she just started bawling.
Ugh.
She just started bawling. And it was at that moment that I said, wow, you know, I helped her get from point A to point B, but I'm missing
so
a whole
more.
Big piece mm-hmm. of it. And yeah, so I think your idea is fantastic. You know, I have a course, which you are an expert for the same thing. It's the same thing. How to get your head on straight during the process, because that is as important.
Which is, what's your website? Divorceboss.tv.
.tv. So yeah, I think together we could, my goal is to positively change the face of divorce.
Right.
And you know, you are doing that one person at a time, just like you did it for yourself. So I think make a great team. If I do pat myself on the back.
Ourselves.
And you know what? Considering that I know both of you so well, I'm actually considering getting married again, sabotaging it, and then turning to both of you.
Oh, Frank and Barry.
So, and by the way, if you do sign up for Carol's course or Jonna's, you get a special gift with your sign up. It's a box of mystery weapons.
What?
Okay? It gets discreetly mailed to your house. And then you can use them in process.
Mystery weapons. I thought you were going to say it comes with a free cat rental.
Oh, that's only if you got the house that's infested with mice.
Right.
Yes. It comes with dark web cats.
Oh,
gosh, Frankenberry. No weapons.
No weapons? All right.
No. Hurting back does not help you. Trust me.
No, it will. It will. I promise you, only hurt you.
Yeah.
It truly, truly will.
And that is my goal, is to get women out of that place where they're afraid, where their self-esteem is on the floor, where they're angry and they're sad and they're scared and all of those negative emotions, and switch the mindset away from, why me? Why did this happen to me? Because it did. It happened. You're there.
Right.
Onto it, and it's not going to be sitting down for hours about your pain. I do want to hear where you are, but we're really going to shift your focus. Okay, now what?
That's the key.
Where do you want to get to? How can we use this to build a better life for you?
You know, when we were talking about the law of attraction, this is incredible how it all ties in. Because one of the things that you, when you focus on the why me and how am I going to pay the bills and why did this happen, and you focus on all the negative, why is my self-esteem in the crapper, you're going to get more of the things that you're focused on, regardless of how bad they are. So stop focusing on that and set your sights to where you want to be, not where you are at the moment if you're uncomfortable in the moment.
Yep. And the simplest question you can ask yourself, first of all, stop focusing on what you hate about what you're going through. What do you want this to look like when this is behind you?
Yep.
And then just keep asking yourself, is what I'm about to do here, or say, or think, is that going to get me closer to where I want to be or further away? And then just keep continuously choosing closer.
My mantra, divorce marks the end of your marriage, but it's also the beginning of the rest of your life.
Sure is, your new normal.
Start that on a good, and when I went through a recent breakup and you texted that to me, you got to start that on the best, just like you would start anything. You don't start a new job like, this place sucks. You want to start a new
job.
That's
day three, come on now.
Or if you have a baby, you don't want to start your new motherhood from a sucky place. You want it to be bright and light and positive. And the same thing happens when you're ending your marriage and embarking on the rest of your life.
DivorceWithPurpose.com, DivorceBoss.tv.
Sorry, gang. I've got no divorce courses or any divorce advice. There's nothing I can give you. Nothing I can help you with.
You can give us you, and we love you, Frank and Barry.
All right. Well, I know it's not enough. Believe me, that's been proven numerous times. But
stop.
So now, do we have? Oh, wait. I think we know who we're talking to next, and I was excited about it.
Dr. Judith Orloff.
Yes, I remember talking to Dr. Orloff before in the old days.
An empath's survival guide. She is awesome. If you really take on the moods, emotions, and actual physical pain of people around you, you might be an empath. She's going to be talking to us about that
and
next
how to
week.
Deal with it. Very important.
All right, and before we go, I just want to give a big thumbs up. I read a story a couple of days earlier. It's about a TV station out in Seattle. One of the reporters was doing a story on how sometimes companies that have that you owe medical debt to will sometimes sell that debt at a bargain just to get rid of it. Somebody else buys that debt up, and then they become the one that collect the interest, and mm-hmm. they hound you for the money. Well, a reporter in Seattle doing a story on this found out about it, convinced his television station to for $12,000 to buy $1 million worth of medical debt of folks in the Western Washington
grand?
Area. For 12 grand, they bought $1 million worth of medical debt, which is another story in of itself.
Right.
And the TV station forgave all the debt.
That is genius.
So over like 1,000 people are getting letters to say you no longer are indebted
Goosebumps.
To whatever the company was.
Wow.
So, yeah, so kudos. And it's happened before. John Oliver did it. You know, John Oliver from HBO. He convinced HBO to spend $60,000 on $15 million worth of medical debt, and they did the same thing.
That's awesome.
So,
that is awesome.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, we'll be back next week, and we'll talk to Dr. Judith Orloff. For right now, Jonna, Carol, thank you. Another fantastic Sunday.
See you next week.
All right. It's K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.